Thank the Lord for being with you today. I'm going to write on the board here. I'm thinking of. God is our fortress. So Mike, that's what the Lord gave me, it's been on my mind quite a bit. Started out how the Lord brought this. I'm just going to read some of the words to this song. Some of you might know it. It was written by Philip Bliss. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing. Victory is nigh. And when this song first came to me, and Philip Bliss was wrote many songs. He died at a young age in a tragic train accident. Either he was in his late 30s or early 40s, but he actually survived the train accident, but he went back in the train to help his wife because the train got on fire. I don't know just how the accident happened, but he went back in there. But he wrote that song. And I was just thinking about forts, a fort, that God is our fortress. And I'd like to start reading in Psalms 18. You know, the Lord is our fortress, and he is able to help us. And I was thinking about, as a child, do you remember, I'm sure some of you built forts. I mean, as a little child, like, take chairs together, and you put blankets over the chairs or sheets, and you get in this fort. Some of you may have a tree house, or you made a fort up there, or... But there was something about children like to have a hiding place. You know, thought that was pretty neat to have a fort. But you know, God is our hiding place, and he's our fortress. Years ago, I had read a story about a woman that, it was a grandmother in the family. It's a true story, and it was years ago, and it's when the Indians were, I think it was the Indians that were going to come, and I have some Indian blood in me, so I'm not against Indians at all. But the Indians that were, you know, upset right then and mad, and they were going to come, and she was afraid. And so, anyway, she prayed that God would protect their little cabin. And it was like a snowstorm came up. It all circled around the cabin. So when they came by, they couldn't see them. I was thinking that's kind of like a fort, right? How God caused that to happen. I just was thinking many things like that, how God is our fortress. We need a fortress in life. We need a refuge. And God is our refuge. Now, in Psalms 18, it says here, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. Have you ever didn't have a rock with me? I thought about bringing a small rock. Anyway, if you take a rock and you squeeze it, you know, if it's a solid rock, it doesn't give. It's strong, right? And you squeeze that rock. Well, it says, the Lord is our rock. The Lord is my rock. Makes it real personal, like we heard this morning. And my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. And it goes on to say, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him, even into his ears. So we just want to remember that God is our fortress. He's a fort. He's like a fort. He's, He's like, God is my fort. I can go to him and he's my refuge. He's my hiding place. And Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Have you ever felt like you were just out of strength physically and you needed strength? And I have sometimes, and I prayed and the Lord gave me special strength. You just give me special strength. I felt it. You know, God is like that. I know when we were sick a while back, right after Monarch, and there was times that I thought, now I mean, I had to give into it to a certain point, you know, be tired and lay down a few minutes on the couch. But I thought, I'm going to get up in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to do some work around the house, keep myself busy. And I would say it in the name of Jesus, and when negative thoughts would come, and what's going to happen to you next? And when my smell left me, and I'm, oh no, no, oh no, how long is this going to be? Oh no. But you know, I prayed to the Lord, and it was less than 2 weeks, but a week and a half, my smell came back. That's a miracle. Most people, they said, I looked it up, they said it's 4 weeks or longer. But you know, God can't do anything. He is a fortress. Praise God. We could go to him. He could change things. You know, we can be looking, what's the next symptom's going to happen? What's the next bad thing that's going to happen? But we have to start looking like, what's the next good thing's going to happen? What's the next good thing going to happen? I'm going to wait for some good things. I want some good things to start happening. You know, I've noticed with God that he always balances life out. Something bad happens, something wonderful, good happens. Have you noticed that about God? He does. He just does it. Oh, you could be thinking one thing and think, Lord, why has this happened to me? And then all of a sudden, a few days go by and God gives you this great blessing. And you pray for me now as I'm preaching this because I want to tell a few things. But this one thing I got to tell because this was a miracle that happened to me. God was my fortress that day. Right after we got well, it was about maybe close to 4 weeks, about a month, so somewhere in there. I don't know the exact day, you know. But we wanted to see some of our children. So we tried to see them about once a month at least. We live close by, you know, like 2 hours away from Tammy and Jody. We tried to see them. So we got an idea that we would meet them. It was a little place, Tecumseh. What's the name of that? Our farmer's daughter is going to meet him there for lunch. So I was riding in the back of Jerry was in the front with Ron. I was riding in the back of the Yukon in the middle. She has 3 seat with Courtney, and then Bridget and Jillian was in the back during the day. We're going to meet Tammy and Lauren was off where she could meet us, and Katie and the great baby, great grandbaby. So as we're traveling, this it's more like part of a tree, like big tree branches, you know, big ones, was in a truck in front of us. And one of them flew out, and I had laid my head on the side of the window with that big purse I got. I had my purse there. And then I decided, oh, I don't need the purse. I put it down. I'm just going to take a little rest. You know, it's a long trip, and take a little rest. And I laid my head on the side of that window. That tree branch came out of that truck and hit the side of that, the middle right by my window, right where my head was, took the rubber off the glass, didn't crack the window, missed me probably by maybe an inch or two. I don't even know. Just, it hit the glass, you know what I mean? Would have hit my head. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know if I've been killed instantly or I've been hurt really bad. It'd been horrible. All I know, it'd been horrible. But praise God, he was my fortress. He delivered me. And you see this, Ron has a picture of it. It was bent, the metal was bent badly. So why would it did to my head, the side up right my temple, all my, you know what I mean? But praise God, he delivered me. And he was my fortress. What happened there? How did God, he just divinely did that. You know, God is so powerful, saints. You know, when I thought I could have died or might have died, I didn't die, right? Just, it's one thing after another in life. Then I know Brother Philip was telling us the other day, he was talking to us after service, he goes, it's not the saints haven't had problems or troubles or sicknesses. It's God's delivered us. He's delivered us out of them all. That's how come we're alive. It's because God had let us be alive. Praise God. It's wonderful. I just thank the Lord. He is our refuge. He is our strength. A very present help in trouble. Even when we don't know trouble's coming, a freak accident can happen, but God can protect us. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. There is a river. Praise God. You know, and it wasn't long ago, I got up to have worship in the morning, and I was reading. And all of when I got through, I had the song come to me. It was the Holy Spirit. I'm sure the sun is shining just behind the cloud. Well, I said, well, that's one of our songs in the songbook. And I went to get the Evening Light songbook. I was trying to find it, and I couldn't find it in the index. I shut the songbook, and I was just wanting to find that song. I couldn't find it. And I said, maybe the Lord can help me find that song. And I opened it. It was right. It's not right now. It's 164. Never forget the number, because I opened right to it. I just went like that. I said, maybe the Lord helped me. I opened right to that. The sun behind the cloud. And it says, we are in a world of trouble, but the Lord is always near. Though the people are so sinful, vain, and proud, he will never let us suffer more than we can ably bear. I am sure the sun is shining just behind the cloud. I got to thinking about that. Can we believe that the sun is shining behind the cloud? Are we going to listen to all this other stuff? Are we going to say, Lord, I'm going to believe. I believe God gave that to me. That the sun is shining behind the cloud. It's going to come out again. The sun's going to come out again. The sun is shining just behind the cloud. Oh, saints, we have to believe that. We have to believe that. We have to. We have to believe and praise God. And it goes on in this. It says in the 10th verse, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, I was just thinking, God is so great. He is our refuge. I wrote down some of what a refuge means. A strong, fortified place. A secured defense. Refuge means a place that gives protection or shelter from danger, troubles, unhappiness. You know, I was not very long ago in Pilgrim's Progress. One thing that really stood out to me as I was studying is Pilgrim was going along and he fell in like this quicksand. And who was that was with him? I can't remember the man's name, but he turned around and went back. But help came. A man showed up named Help, and he helped him out. And then there was something else happened to him, and then this Help man would come and help him out. And I got a hold of that, and I thought, Mr. Help, help keeps coming. And you know, this way, isn't that with us? We have a problem, and then help comes. And then help comes. Well, that's God. You know, we think it's just horrific, and it is, and it's terrific. Not terrific, it's horrific, it's horrible. And I think, oh dear, what's going to happen to us? And then help comes, Mr. Help comes. And I just thought, I got so blessed out of that, I thought, we have help from God. He keeps coming. He keeps delivering us. He keeps helping us. He's our fortress. God is our fortress. Yes, praise God for that. Deuteronomy 8 and 4. Let's see what that says. This is so good. Deuteronomy 8 and 4. God is our help. It says, he was talking about the children of Israel. Of course, you know, the Red Sea came to my mind when I got thinking about this, because I thought, you know, here the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. The water went back. Can you imagine what they were thinking? This Pharaoh's army's after me. I do not have chariots. I do not have any way to fight this army. They're after me, but God starts fighting the battle. He opens up the water. Isn't that help? He opens up the water. Isn't that a fortress? They're walking along, and it should have been muddy and wet from the water, but it was dry ground. And they're walking, and then here comes the chariots, Pharaoh's chariots and all, and they, what happens? They got kind of scared because they said, God's fighting for these people. Maybe we better turn around. They were thinking all kinds of thoughts probably. But then God let the water come down on them, and he destroyed the army. He fought the battle. He fought the battle. It was so easy for God. It's not easy for us sometimes. But God has power through prayer. We need to remember that. Pray, 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 because God has great power. He is the Almighty God. I wrote down something else I was going to read to you. It was so good. I found all kinds of thoughts come to me when I... God is Almighty. God knows everything. God controls the universe. He is a mighty God. He is great. He's powerful. He's a big God. He's great. Well, in this scripture it says, the Israelites' raiment or clothes waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. I want to get about that. Their feet did not swell. Walking all the time with sandals on or whatever they had. Their shoes did not wear out. Their clothes did not wear out. God took care of them. You know what? You might say, well, I'm not walking to the Red Sea. But we're walking in life. We're walking in life. We're walking along in life. And God's taking care of us. Yes, he is. He's doing great things for us all the time. We could write a book about it. He's doing great things for us. I could see it. You know, the song says, I look back and I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. Jerry was telling a little bit about this morning, but, you know, and when you get older, you look back because you got lots of years to look back. You look back and you see how God did this and God did that and God did that. And it gives you a great encouragement to share with others. Praise God. In Deuteronomy 29:5, it says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoes not waxing old upon thy foot. He took care of them. He fed them with manna. Every day he gave them food to eat. And they didn't have water out there. But he made water. He had Moses strike the rock and water come out. And so he gave them everything they needed, whatever they needed. Praise God. You know, God is doing that for us. Yes, we're the spiritual Israelites. We're walking in this world and he's doing miracle after miracle. I'm telling you what, saints, he is our fortress. Don't ever forget you know what? You have something to go to. You have a refuge. A lot of people in the world that are not saved don't understand this. They don't understand how you can go to God and how God can help you. But we understand that we can go to him. And we don't have to get depressed. I mean, one time we had a Bible study and Guthrie, and it was about depression. Well, I said something that's a bold testimony, but I said, I don't get depressed. Don't get depressed. I won't give in to it because I don't think God wants the saints to be depressed. Mm-mm. Don't give in to that. That's a spirit. Don't say I have anxiety and I have depression. Because if you say those things, it will come upon you. I remember reading a story years ago about a minister back in, I don't know if he's back in Brother Warner's time or something, but this sister kept saying, I'm depressed, I'm depressed. And he didn't know how to deal with her because he'd never been depressed. Actually, I really hard for me to know how to deal with someone because I just don't go there. I just don't know how to deal with it. Except pray for them. and tell him, don't do it. Don't give in to that. So anyway, so he thought he'd lay down on the sofa and say, I'm depressed. See if he'd get depressed so he'd know how to help her. Well, a very gloomy, awful spirit came upon him. It was terrible. He said he just felt like the enemy just came all over him. And he said, oh, God, forgive me. Get rid of this spirit. And he started rebuking the devil and praying. You know what? There's spirits that can get upon us if we give into these things and say, I'm depressed and I'm gloomy and I'm under. I'm not over, but I'm under. I know there's sometimes I've got up and I'm tired. And I'm tired. I don't feel like doing much. I'm just tired. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He says, stop saying it. You're going to be tired all day. You don't stop saying that. I said, that's exactly right, Lord. I'll be tired all day and won't get anything done if I keep talking like this. So I said, you know what, Lord? I'm sorry. I'm full of energy. I'm just full of it. Praise God. I'm going to get something done today. And I told my Lord, get me excited about life. I don't care if it's cleaning out my pantry or cleaning out my refrigerator or cooking, making some bread. Let me get excited about life. Let me not give in to this stuff about being tired and lazy. I want to be lazy. I want to be excited. I'm not saying you're always lazy when you're tired, because I was tired in the COVID. I had to lay down and rest. But I would get up and do something. Ask my husband. I cleaned out my pantry. I put decals on my pantry. I did a lot of work during the COVID because I wanted to be energetic. I want to rebuke the devil. The name of Jesus. Oh, praise God. Yeah, I took naps. It's okay to be tired and take naps. But what I'm saying is, don't do that all the time. Don't say those words. Don't say you're depressed. I'm telling you the honest truth. You don't give in to those things. You know what? Some people say, well, I just can get excited about little things. I can get excited about a flower. I can get excited about, you know, just anything like that, like little things around the house or out in the yard. Just, there's so many things in life that we can get excited about. We don't have to be down and depressed. No, there's so many things that we can think about. Pumpkins, yes, beautiful pumpkins. Not those jack-o'-lantern things. I don't believe in them things. But just the pumpkin. God made the pumpkin and pumpkin pie and pumpkin cupcakes and all kinds of pumpkin. There's nothing wrong with that. God made the pumpkin. Just don't use it in the wrong way. We don't want to do no jack-o'-lantern. But praise God. We can love the fall. I love the fall. I love the trees churning and oh, we're just looking forward to it. It's going to get prettier and prettier and prettier. And cool. Like Brother said, cooler weather coming and just not so cold, but just cool, you know, we can enjoy the morning and just, oh, there's so many fantastic, wonderful things that's going to happen because we have a fortress. And, you know, I have to get away from certain things in my mind because, you know, I'm not going to tell them, but you know what's going on. And I have to get my mind kind of cleared away from those things and have some joy. I got to choose some joy, you know. And so I got to go after the Bible or after a good song or just anything that's pleasant. Right, Jerry? Yeah, we work on it, don't we, Jerry, in that house? We work on that to have joy. And get up in the morning. Let's have a good day, Jerry. Let's have a good day. Praise the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? You know, we can get excited about so many things, saints. You know my little great-grandbaby, Willow? You don't know her. But some of you might have seen her on Facebook. She's cute, but you know what? It's more than just the cute part. I'm seeing in her personality, okay? And I'm seeing when I'm around her, she turns her head and looks at that. Well, she'll be a year old around Thanksgiving time, so she's getting up there. And she'll see something, she'll, what's that? It's like her little eyes. It's just looking like I'm in the world and what's going on. Like I want to learn all about it. And I was holding her in my arms and this golf cart went by. And she goes, gets all tickled in. And she just gets so excited like, what's that? Maybe it's not, well, that's smaller than a car. I don't know what she's thinking. That looks like a toy, you know. That looks exciting. But she's just all about, that's the way we got to keep as we get older. We just got to try to keep that new. Like, there's so many things in this world. I'm not talking about the bad things. I'm talking about the good things. The cucumber. I was working on my, I have some beautiful potato vines, but they're not like real potatoes. You know, they're the decorative things you put in the plants. But they have grown, like I've got this tall pot and it's grown all over and way down onto the ground. It looks really pretty. And so I told you, honey, don't trim that. Don't trim it. Let me trim it if I want to trim it. Please don't. He said, okay, you don't want to trim it anymore either because he thinks it's so pretty. And then I've got some other plants. And one day, but some of it in the mailbox was getting kind of, you know, some dead parts. So I went to clean it out. And so I was cleaning out what I'm trying to say. I come across this potato root. I said, well, no wonder they call it potato vine. It really has potato. It has a potato there. I thought, oh, isn't that neat? I never seen that before. And, you know, I don't know. Can you get excited about these things? You know, you're a lot of you are farmers, right? So you must get excited about the garden and the things that, you know, I wasn't very, very good at the garden, but someday maybe I will be. I shouldn't say that. This is why I'm probably not good at it. I need to start saying, I can be good at a garden. That's what I gotta do. I'm getting failed before I start, right? But, oh, dear Lord, help us to know that God is our fortress. And we don't have to be depressed. We don't have to get discouraged. You know, this is what the Lord gave me. Yes, Joshua. Let's read Joshua 5 and 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Their children. Yeah, they didn't get to go because they complained too much. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not. And then go on down a little farther in the 12th verse, it says, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So as soon as they began to eat the corn and have the fruit of the land, the manna stopped because they didn't need that no more. Isn't that the way with us? There's sometimes God feeds us at a certain place and then it's time to move and go somewhere else. Sometimes God keeps you right there. But God has a way to work with us in our life. He has a way to show us what we need to do and keep blessing us and keep feeding us and keep, there's all kinds of ways God can feed us. And, you know, and it's so wonderful. You know, things in life change sometimes, and we have to, that's one thing about life, it's always changing. But saints, when it changes, God can still give you grace. He can still give you strength. He can still bless you. You know, it was hard. I remember when our first daughter got married, I thought I was doing all right till I got home. And she sang a song. It was a song about mother or something. She sang something. I'm trying to think how it worded it. But anyway, I was listening to the wedding back then. You know, we had the little tape recorder, but we did make a video out of it. But I had a tape, and I was listening to the tape in my room. And she started singing on this. I thought, Tammy's gone. She's gone. I was thinking bad. I was thinking the bad way, you know. I really was. I mean, I should have been thinking that way. But my Tammy's gone. She's gone. She's not going to live here no more with me. Oh, my broken heart. Then I started crying, and I cried and cried and cried. And what am I going to do? My Tammy's gone. Of course, you know, he's tougher, but I was really crying. It was heartbreaking. But then the Lord showed me, you're thinking of it wrong, girl. You've got to quit thinking this way. See, I was thinking it was hard. She wasn't going to be there in the house anymore. But, you know, it wasn't before that night was ever over, we got a telephone call. Hi, Mom and Dad, we're on the airplane going on her honeymoon. She's calling Mom and Dad. Oh, I was so excited. I thought, she still loves us. She's thinking about us. I was just so happy. And then she said, well, just want to let you know we're just fine and everything. And I hung up and I said, look at there, Jerry. She's not going to forget about us. She loves us. And then I found out how Tammy, she texts us me all the time. She comes, sees me. You know, we go see her. We still have a relationship. It's wonderful. But she needs to have her own home and her own family. And then I learned this. Every child, it was hard, but I learned to let go. But there, everything in life, you have a fortress. Are you getting my message? Like, you know, you got to go to God and let Him straighten it out in your mind. Because sometimes we look at it one way and it's kind of hard. But if we look at it God's way, we realize it's better. And I tell you what, you can ask Jerry. Our retirement years right now, I've got a sign I bought, big sign that says, these are the good old days. I got it up on my fireplace mantle. These are the good old days. And that's why I say, these are the good old days that we're having right now with Jerry. Retirement, and get to be with him and not have to rush out the door and work. And we could have breakfast, a slow breakfast, or whatever we want to do. We could just talk to each other. What would you like to do today, honey? It's a wonderful time. But see, we can look at things differently, but we can look at how God gives you a blessing every stage of life. We just got to keep going until finally at last, it's not going to be bad at last. We're going to step over into heaven. I'm looking forward to that. I want to live as long as God wants me to, but I'm looking forward. God's given me dreams about heaven. And I would like to even have more, but I know that it's going to be a wonderful, beautiful place. And it's going to be so real. Like God gave Jerry something the other day about, he was thinking about it. And it's going to be so real, just as real as it is here, except different. And we're, you know, and like Brother Michael Smith said at the Monarch meeting, sometime maybe I can preach about the whole thing about being having a glorified body. But he said, we're just not going to be spirits flying around there. God promises a glorified body, like him. Study it. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's going to rise? Your spirit's already went to heaven. Your spirit comes back to your body. It's changed and glorified. And that's what's rising. The body's rising. The body's being changed. And we're going to have a glorified body. I know I don't have time to go on all that right now. But it's the truth. Jesus was the first fruits. He raised from the dead. And even Paul said, and I saw him. 500 brethren at once saw him. All different disciples seen him. And he goes, and I seen him. And I seen Jesus, that's what he said, after he rose from the dead. And he had a glorified body. He was the first fruits of that. He conquered death, and you don't have to be afraid of that. We are going to conquer it through Jesus Christ. He is our fortress of everything in life and our fortress when we die. He is going to take us to heaven. Praise God. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my soul. I am so excited about that. Not that I want to die like right now, but I'm excited. That's the flesh, right? But I'm excited that it's going to be so wonderful. And I tell you a little secret, because you're my friends and we're all here together. When I got saved in 1971, about 74, the Lord was calling me to the ministry. I was, 18. I think I was 21, right? 21. And you know, it's just like when you get saved, how, and you get consecrated. I thought, Lord, are you sure you want me to be a preacher? Are you sure, Lord? And I just struggled with that for a while. And I struggled with it. And even when I came to Oklahoma, I struggled with it for a while. And the Lord let me know, consecrate to that. But since I'm trying to say is since I consecrated, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that he counted me. Even though maybe I haven't been perfect in every way, I've tried my best in lots of ways I have. But you know what? I'm human. But at the same time, God loves me and he gave me a calling. And why I'm saying that to you, if God's given you a calling, don't hold back. Don't hold back because you know what? God is the greatest blessing. That we think sometimes that it's the hard thing and we don't want to do it. But, you know, it's the opposite. God blesses your soul. He gives you so many messages. He talks to your heart. He gives you, you feel the Holy Spirit when you're behind the pulpit. It's just so wonderful. And I'm not saying that boasting about me at all. I'm trying to say, as I see people drawing back and not consecrating themselves to the Lord, it's just a lie from the devil. God is our fortress. He's our help. He can help us do anything. He can help you sing a song. He can help you do whatever He wants you to do, right? He helped Moses. And the Lord has given me that so many times. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. And I think, oh, Moses, you know, Moses, he's so much better. He's so big. And Moses, he was the meekest man on earth until he struck that rock. And then he messed up there. But God blessed him still, and God buried Moses. He buried Moses. We talked about that this morning with Nebo. And you know, you think about Moses, how old was he, 120? Was he 120 years old when he died? And he walked up that mountain. He walked up that mountain. Praise the Lord. He had a fortress. He had God. His eyes wasn't dim. He wasn't. How could a man be like that? Because God made him like that. But God said, you know, because you've done that one thing, you can't go over to Canaan land. But it's okay. I love you, Moses. I'm going to bury you. You know, I mean, that was quite a privilege to have God bury you. But he says, come on up here now. And he took him on to heaven. Tell you what. Isn't it wonderful? Don't you want to be a friend to God? I want to be God's friend. I want to be on God's side. Let me tell you. We need to be on God's side in the world we're living in. We want to be on God's side. Some of my family, you know, they were staying in West Virginia because they were calling all the time because I wasn't going to the hospital and I had COVID, you know. I got, bless their little hearts. But they was worried and they were so kind to me. They were so kind. But after they seen how God helped us, my nephew, he called, he goes, Aunt Marcia and Uncle Jerry, I knew God would help you. I knew God would help you. He called us when we were sick. And we had only been sick a little while. He goes, God's going to help you, Uncle Jerry. God's going to help you, Aunt Marcia. You're living for the Lord. And he goes, I know God's going to help you. You're going to be all right. And then they look around. There were a lot of, some of their family going to the hospital and some people they know and some of them are dying. And I'm not boasting myself. It could have happened to us. But God took care of us. And God took care of a lot of you too. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. But it's just a testimony that he said, And my sister told me just a few days ago, Lauren still can't get over how God helped you. He says, now, Mom, you know that God helped Uncle Jerry and Aunt Marcia. He just gets in. And he said, I knew God would. Oh, he was our fortress. He was our fortress. I know when my smell left, I said, oh, Lord, is there anything you could show me to do? Because I drank a whole lot of tomato juice. I don't know. I mean, I know I did. I drank a whole lot of tomato juice. I love tomato juice, but it just seemed like we weren't very hungry, and I would just drink that. I thought I have to have something in me, and I would just drink it. And Jerry knows I drink those big 64-ounce jars of it. Drink glass after glass. And drink my water and stuff. And then later, someone said, you're supposed to overdose in vitamin C. See, there, what I did. Orange juice, tomato juice. Didn't know this was, I knew a little bit I was supposed to do that, but I didn't know how powerful. And they even said tomato juice was fantastic for you. But when I said, Lord, you know I love to smell my candles and my things in my house, and taking my smell being gone is really bothering me. And the Lord, and I said, what can I do, Lord? Is there anything I could do? And he said, you need to get, remember how you get those serrano peppers and garlic, and cook them in olive oil, and eat them. And I ate it with some plain pasta, and then I ate it some with scrambled eggs. Try it. It's really good. It's really fantastic. And I'm telling you what, it's hot. It's ever hot, hot. I think it might be hotter than jalapeno peppers. I don't know. But maybe pretty close. It's hot. They're little tiny peppers, you know, like your finger, like serrano peppers. Well, we were doing This is important. I know it looks like I'm getting off, but it's important. Because God showed me that. And saints, I believe in good, healthy food. Eating, right? And I tell you what, I took that. My smell come back in about a week and a half. Because when I took that, my sinuses opened up. It was so hot that my sinuses opened up and it killed it. I said, Lord, just kill this thing, this virus. Kill it. I figured if I got something hot enough, it would just kill it. And it did. It wasn't long. I could breathe. I'm smelling my candles again. It killed that stuff in me. Praise the Lord. He told me what to do. And it was so amazing because I did pick up at Walmart. And two times I ordered serrano peppers. They didn't bring it to me. And I was at first, I knew God told me I had to get that. I felt like it was God. You know, I know people say God. But it worked out, so it must have been God. I said, you know what? You keep forgetting my serrano peppers. And he goes, I'm so sorry. I said, could you please get my serrano peppers? Because I can't come in the store. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry. How many do you want? And I said, four. And I meant four little finger ones, right? He brings me out four or six packages. And I told him, I offered to pay for my card. He goes, no, we forgot them. It's okay. It's on the Walmart, right, or whatever. Or he paid for them. I don't know, but he wouldn't let me pay for them. And I had these big packages of serrano peppers. I still got one package left I haven't opened. So we had to he wouldn't have it. But I could have, I've been eating them and eating them and eating them. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't mean to be funny, dear saints. But I'm so happy about it because God showed me what to do. He is our fortress. It was a miracle. My sister is a nurse and she said, Marcia, your smell came back in a week and a half? And I said, yeah, God helped me. And she says, that's amazing. She says, I know. And then my daughter Tammy says, I know somebody that said they're still suffering for no smell, and it's been months. Yes. We can listen to God. He is our fortress, praise God. Oh, I love the Lord. He's just so good. I want to read just a little bit more, but 2 Kings 6 and 17. This is just so good. Because, this servant, he was seeing we can look at all the host of hell, all the bad situations, and we could just think, this is just awful. But look what the servant said. Alas, my master, how shall we do? Don't you ever feel like that? How are we going to do with all this stuff? How are we going to do, God? And what did he said, fear not. Remember, every time the angels would come, they would be afraid. And the angel would say, fear not. When Jesus was born, I bring you good tidings. Fear not. We need to not fear. That's the only way we're going to get through this. We got to not fear. We got to have more faith. It says here, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. He smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said unto him, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. Now he took that big army, and he says, smite them with blindness now, Lord. And they all went blind. Now this is the way God fights battles. He can do anything, right? And so then he takes them over, and then he takes them to Samaria, and he opens their eyes. And he said, Lord, he don't open, but he tells the Lord, Lord, please open their eyes. Whatever. He believed God would do it, right? God did it. Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. They probably think, what are they going to do to us? And the king said, my father, he's talking to Elijah, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? He said two times. He said, thou shalt not smite them. Would you smite them if I brought them here with sword and bow? No, he said, you would set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. This just tickled me when I read it. They were done. They got their food and they got out of there and they got to go back and they thought, you know, can you imagine what they were thinking? I am not going to fight them no more because God's doing something supernatural with them. You know what? God is our fortress. Praise the Lord. He is our fortress. And I might not turn to that right now, but Matthew 6 says, you know, God says, what? He says in Matthew 6 says, you worry too much about what you're going to eat, what you're going to do. He says, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about those things. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. Matthew 6. It says, and don't worry. Matthew 6 says, therefore take no thought. In the 31st, we're saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whether shall we be clothed? I know one person has got food laid up for a year. Now, you want to do that? That's fine. I'm going to do that. But what if the year runs out and you're still in trouble? But you know what? God says, what shall we eat? What shall we... Don't worry about there. Take no thought. What shall we drink or whether shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord today for his wonderful, wonderful... I tell you, there is a river, there is a refuge, and we need to know that God has a river, a refuge. There is a river, it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees my soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman, she was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. Oh, but then she met the Master, and he told her of her sin. He said, child, if you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Sing that chorus with me. There is a river, it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Praise God.